Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Here's Johnny.
Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond.
Make your lives extraordinary.
Restless.
Room 42.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Welcome to I Watch More Movies Than You, and please take that as a challenge. What else on earth can you spend $10 and then leave the planet for 2 hours? Only movies. Come join us as we experience, explore, and journey through the greatest art form in history.
And here we go.
Welcome back to I Watch More Movies Than You. You got Ken?
You got Rob?
Guess who's back?
Back again.
Bobby's back.
Tell a friend.
We don't have any friends. Our listeners do not have friends. Listen, we're going to come at you guys with Wes Anderson. First of all, ever heard of him? Wesley Anderson from the University of Texas, Austin. Roommates with Luke and Owen Wilson. Shot Red Rocket before you were even born. Doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't.
But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Wes Anderson. I always find it surprising, like, telling people that he's a Texan and they didn't know it.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a Texan.
You think he's Parisian? He does have an estate in Paris.
Yeah.
House, but
yeah.
Me and him, you know.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
All right. We're friends. I'm joking. Yeah. In my head.
Right.
Wes Anderson's Asteroid City deep dive. Look, we're going to do review and deep dive. We'll announce when spoilers are coming.
Yeah.
Then, Bobby. Mm-hmm. Bobby. You know what I'm doing when I do that?
I don't know.
Stalling.
Yeah.
But I just remembered. It's Celine Song's Past Lives.
Directorial debut.
Which is
wild.
Wild.
Because they're talking about this movie as a Best Picture contender.
Yeah, back in February at Sundance they were.
Yeah, apparently it was the best thing at Sundance.
It rocked the crowds.
Yeah, and for it to be, it was, you know, they had, ever since COVID, they've done, well, let me restate. During COVID, they did an all-virtual Sundance. Since then, they've had some titles that are virtual, some that are not. This was one of those that was not, and yet it still had so much buzz about it.
Maybe because of that, or maybe that played a part.
I'm sure it's
exclusivity.
I'm sure it's part of it. I'll tell you what, though. I know we're not there yet, but we've got some movies coming out of South Korea that are just like knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, Bong Joon-ho. Like, I'm so glad I got exposed to him. I'll admit it took Parasite, but then I went back and watched everything. Yeah. Anyone remembers a murder host and phenomenal filmmaking in that country.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. So we got Asteroid City and Past Lives.
Yeah, we got two really unique movies here.
And I wanted to preface the episode with the ideology that you guys have come to understand that we operate from is RIP. He lived 99, so, you know, save your tears. But director Robert Bresson, who is not a Nazi, very inside joke. We thought the guy we got our quote from would be funny. We look it up and he like happens to be a Nazi. It'd be our luck. But he's not. He said, I'd rather people feel a film before understanding it.
Yeah.
Listen, the critics are a dime a dozen. I mean, we love them all. I'm saying you could go get your reviews. You can go read them, watch them, TikTok them. You know, God forbid. but we are much more interested and our realities being transformed by going to another perspective and just leaving this planet when we watch a movie.
Yeah.
It is a darn near spirit. Some of them are a spiritual experience. It's one of the most magical things I've ever encountered. And we would much rather feel a film before we attempt understanding it. Mm-hmm. And that guides us. This is going to be an emotional episode.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Both of these movies, Asteroid City and Past Lives, to me are two sides to the same coin. Meaning exact opposites.
Oh, right. Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
A lot of ways.
Yes.
And we're going to get into that. But this episode is going to span grief, love, what could have been, all sorts of really, really heavy topics as we explore through Asteroid City and past lives. I'll be honest, I'm very excited for this one.
I am too.
Need it too. I feel like it's neat because, like, we both and I, Bobby and I, he's back, by the way.
I'm back, baby. Wait, did I go away?
Just that one, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But you didn't listen. That's fine.
Right.
That's how you did it.
Something about
that.
Christmas?
What?
So there was something about Christmas that episode you did?
No, Halloween. I hope everybody's getting ready. Although we did take a diversion with this episode.
Yeah. But it's important, though. I think if we're going to cover these, we do it now.
Yes. 100%. I did not want them to go get away from us.
And we don't, I've mentioned this before, but people, we don't talk about these movies with each other before the pod. We do it on the pod.
Yeah, as tempting as it is, this is what the pod is now. This is us talking after the
theater. Yeah. We don't. Yeah, in a way, the pods existed way before the pod because we would have these conversations for 2 hours in the theater parking lot afterwards.
Naked.
Sometimes. Sometimes in the parking lot naked.
Yeah.
That's.
Yes.
Made watching Mario weird, but.
Now 100 million people get to hear.
Now 100 million people. Wow.
A day.
Those numbers. That's crazy.
Sorry, Rogan.
That's crazy.
Sorry, Trump. Sorry, Tucker.
But no, what I was going to say is the only thing we said about these movies prior to recording is that we both feel like they're deep and complex.
Yes.
And that can go either direction.
Yes. And I actually like that you said that because fair criticism, we can talk a little bit about Wes Anderson as we're going to get into Asteroid City first, is sometimes he's emotionally hard to reach. So,
yes.
Like, we'll talk about our favorite ones.
Yeah.
I love Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
He is so much more than these AI Midjourney creations that people are completely missing the point on.
Yeah.
But he a fair criticism and slightly I think it's because he's being actually vulnerable and honest, and that's who he is as a person, is he can be hard, his characters can be hard to connect with emotionally.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like there's a layer of sarcasm. There's a layer of it's a play. There's a layer of these realities.
Wes Anderson movies have become this, and this will be part of my review, so I'll kind of come back to this ideology, I guess, but Wes Anderson movies are a genre of their own. That's how unique they are.
100%.
If you haven't watched a Wes Anderson movie, I want you to picture something like somebody like Tim Burton or somebody like
an auteur.
Quentin Tarantino, where you could walk in a room where one of these movies is playing, and without knowing the film, you can watch the film style and say, like, oh, that's Tim Burton. Oh, that's Quentin Tarantino. There's not that many directors that you can say that about.
No.
Like, you have great directors like Christopher Nolan or Del Toro or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they quite have the, like obvious fingerprint. Like, you know.
Like a nearly trademarked extent.
Yeah, yeah. A Wes style. Anderson film, maybe the most obvious that it's a Wes Anderson movie.
Like reading pop-up books.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you can tell by the camera angles because it's usually very straight on. It's very, it's very 90 degree angles. It's very like perpendicular from each other. It's bright colors.
Yeah,
it's set pieces. It's
and I love him for it. Miniatures.
It's miniatures. It's quirky, fast paced dialogue.
Yeah, dry, often dry.
And there's no way to describe it. You have to watch
one. A lot of deadpan.
You have to watch one. A lot of deadpan. That's what you were saying. Like, it's kind of hard to connect with the characters.
Because I think Asteroid City actually fights that back a little bit. I almost think it was his response to that criticism a little bit.
Well, there's been criticism that his movies don't really have deep meaning. It's very surface level. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a lie necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think they each have their themes.
Yeah.
And this movie, ironically, tries to literally tell you this: there's not a point, there's not a meaning, but there's a lot of deep level that there is. Like, this may be the one movie where he's saying there's not anything meaningful, but there actually is.
Kind of subverts we'll get into his own criticism.
Let's get into, like, everything, and then we can kind of dissect it. But
so we are going to review and deep dive, discuss, whatever you want to call her, Asteroid City. Movie by Wes Anderson, obviously. written by Wes Anderson and Roman Coppola. Stars Jason Schwartzman, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, and his Wes Anderson directorial debut, along with Bryan Cranston, Edward Norton, Jeffrey Wright, Jake Ryan, Grace Edwards. I mean, come on. Maya Hawke, who played a fantastic teacher. Liv Schreiber, was amazing.
Tilda Swinton.
Yes.
Jeffrey Wright.
Yes.
Who's a newcomer to Wes Anderson as well. And I love him.
Yeah. Sophia Lillis, who was Bev in It Chapter 1, 2017. Yep. And guess what? That's what she said.
Steve Carell.
Willem Dafoe. Michael Scott.
We got Willem Dafoe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He always has to make. I mean, who else could get Willem Dafoe to come in for, like, what, 5 minutes of screen time?
Right. Well, you know, we talked about this when we talked about Oppenheimer, that Nolan was one of those directors that even A-listers are humble enough. They just want to be have a piece of that pie.
They want to have done a Wes Anderson movie.
They just want to be a part of it. And that's the same here. And that's the great thing about Wes Anderson is that with time, he's gotten such renown that you have a lot more A-listers. Anybody would sign up for a Wes Anderson
movie. 100%.
I mean, a couple of these actors are Tilda only Swinton. Yeah, I said that a minute ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm missing his main guy, Jeff Goldblum. Adrian Brody. He's got to be in it.
Adrian Brody's in it. Yeah, he plays the director. And Edward Norton plays the writer.
Yeah.
Who else did we say? Did you say Jason Schwartzman?
Yeah, Norton.
Yeah, he's in most of his movies.
It's stacked.
It is stacked. And you know what's weird? I haven't ever thought about this until my wife pointed it out. My wife gets nervous when there's a cast with that many A-listers.
Feel crowded for her?
Well, because she's noticed that a lot of movies like that, it's like they're trying to distract you with good actors because it's not a good script.
Mm.
That's not the case here, I don't think. No. But that happens a lot.
It does. 100%.
Since she said that, it kind of like shattered the glass.
I started thinking,
Fast X for sure.
Yeah.
All those A-listers.
Yeah. And it doesn't say
it's
that.
Weird that Oprah's in that movie.
Yeah.
And
it is.
And Queen Elizabeth. I was surprised.
Oh. Yeah. See, they brought her back. Asteroid City, to give the people the premise, if you don't mind. Very meta movie. I'll go ahead and tell you there's a lot of layers to peel back on this bad boy. It's an onion. Yeah. Let me give the plot summary. Do you mind, Rob?
Go for it.
Bye-bye. Following a writer on his world-famous fictional play about a grieving father who travels with his tech-obsessed family to a small rural asteroid city to compete in a junior stargazing event, only to have his worldview disrupted forever. Again, with Wes Anderson, one, I don't think you can actually spoil his movies, but we'll call it out when we get to there.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I don't think that, like, it's almost like the premise sets the stage.
Yeah.
But I mean, if he's not about characters, I don't know what is. It's almost like everything else is incidental.
Yes.
Character interactions.
I think it's character interaction, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe before Excuse jumping me. In, and I have a reason for asking Please. This question first. One, so that we can name other Wes Anderson movies so people might connect. What are some of your favorite Wes Anderson movies?
I'll give you my favorite. And
okay, I've got my favorite in mind. I'm interested to hear yours.
Mine is the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, that's right. And I think that's most people's.
I'm obsessed. That's a safe answer, but I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
That's the Criterion Collection behind you.
Yeah.
My son was born. I held him and watched it 15 times. Love that movie. Great winter watch.
Yeah. My favorite is The Royal Tenenbaums.
Great Wes Anderson movie. Yeah. That's
That's
really up there.
Yeah.
They're punching in the same way.
Have you seen Moonrise Kingdom?
No, that's my blind spot.
That's the first one I ever saw.
I've heard it's excellent.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And that's got a weird cast too. Like, he's got some of his regulars, like Bill Murray's like a regular in his movies. He's in that. But Bruce Willis is also in that, and Edward Norton's also in Moonrise Kingdom.
That's wild.
And they're all secondary characters because it all focuses on two children.
Yeah, that's insane.
And it's fantastic.
I need to see it. You need I would to love see it. It.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
can tell.
Okay, the reason why I say that.
I saw Life Aquatic.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Fantastic Mr. Fox is up there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
one. Red Rocket. Yeah, I mean, his.
Now, Red Rocket is my blind spot. I haven't seen Red Rocket.
Same.
I've seen I haven't seen Isle of Dogs.
Oh, I haven't either. Darn.
So those are the two big ones that I haven't seen. The reason why I say that is because...
We'll cover it when we do the Wes Anderson episode.
Yes, 100%. This is my wife's first Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, cool.
I don't think this is a good one for the first...
I agree with that entirely.
For the first... I wish I had shown her either Grand Budapest or Moonrise or Life Aquatic, something like that. Royal Tenenbaums. I wish I would have shown... I wish I would have shown her one of those first. I think
you build up to this one.
I think so. Earlier, I mentioned that Wes Anderson movies are just kind of like a genre, all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's not. Because at what point has Wes Anderson leaned into the fact that he's his own genre? So. Is he playing to himself or is it genuine
or with?
Yeah. I think this movie, maybe somewhere in the middle of those two things. Because the
question is it so stylized it lacks emotion?
Yeah.
I would argue Asteroid City mm-hmm. packs more of an emotional wallop that if you've seen his films, know his criticisms, see what's addressed mm-hmm. and get to mm-hmm. the themes, then it's given credit for by the casual, if that makes sense. Like the casual moviegoer.
I agree with that. I do think there is... I think there's a lot of... I think there's a lot of themes and metaphors, allegories here that maybe aren't present in some of his other movies.
Yeah, I think so.
That being said, I think this one got
I liked
mixed.
It more than French Dispatch.
Yes.
I think.
This movie got a lot of mixed reviews, and it got a lot of mixed audience reactions. Not his best as far as, you know, tomato meter, that kind of thing.
It's hard to follow.
Yeah, it's hard to follow in the sense of at the end, when it first went to credits, I sat there and I thought, I don't know what that movie was about. I had to think about it. Okay. And multiple people from the cast and the director have said you need to watch it more than once. And I respect that. However...
I did give it a second viewing.
I haven't. I've only seen it once. Yeah. I watched it just a couple of nights ago.
I watched it with my wife.
Did she like it?
Yes, she did. She did.
Lacey was not a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
And again, that's where I think maybe that wasn't the right Wes Anderson movie to show her
first. It's not super approachable.
It's not. And I think part of my... I'm going to get all the criticism stuff out of the way first, is that I think that, one, if you have to watch a movie more than once, I don't think that's fair. I think a movie should be able to stand on its own mm-hmm. viewing. Now, I do appreciate liking a movie more and unraveling it the more and more you watch it, like The Shining. Every time I watch The Shining, I get something different out of it.
That's a great point.
But the first time I saw The Shining, I still loved it, and I still understood it. Yeah. And I still followed it. And I think I could watch this movie three more times and probably like it three times better than I do right now.
Right.
However, I don't think it should have to be that way. Because I've watched all his other movies at least once and feel good about all of those. At least the ones I've seen.
So
them pausing, so people... This isn't a spoiler.
Yeah.
You already mentioned it. This movie's about a playwright who is writing a play called Asteroid City. Mm-hmm. And so you see, most of what you see is his play, but it kind of fourth wall breaks almost, and you see some of his life and the director's life and the actors playing the characters surrounded in this like movie within a movie.
And they definitely, these characters are almost archetypes. Like Jason Schwartzman's, his character... The War Photographer is almost Kubrickian.
He's grief.
Yeah.
He's grief incarnate.
Yes. Yes.
I think so.
Yes, 100%.
I think what... This one thought, and then I'll move on to the things I liked about it.
Then I'll give them a brief like little premise just so they know
Oh, yeah, yeah.
where these people are. Oh, really? I'll just do it. Yeah, they're in a desert.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they get stuck in the desert. They have a bunch of genius kids. So these families are there from all walks of life. A failing, not a failing actress, but an actress that thinks she's failing at motherhood and ScarJo. Jason Schwartzman, who can't even tell his own kids that they lost their mom. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is not in the movie.
Tom Hanks. Yeah, that's kind of a crazy omission. Yeah. Who's the granddad, you know what I mean, that lost his daughter.
Yeah.
And they all get to this town. There's a lot of other little, cool little characters.
Yeah.
This town, and then they're locked in this town with these genius kids that are trying to reach the stars because they get quarantined, and they may or may not be visited by the namesake, Asteroid City. And we'll get into the spoilers of how that plays out.
Yeah.
And you get to see all the kerfuffle around that. You know, I thought the gentleman that you love was the guy from Solo until I watched it again.
What were you talking about?
The guy that plays Montana. There's a little cowboy character.
Right.
I thought that was the guy from Solo.
Oh, really? It's not, is it?
No.
I can't think of his name.
His name's Montana in this.
Yeah.
And I just read it. I actually don't. It's Rupert Friend.
Oh.
Yes, he has been in stuff. He looks a lot like the guy who played Solo's.
I can't remember his
name. It's not Ansel.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's Ansel Elgort.
Yeah.
Or something.
I think, I don't know what his name is, but it's I think it's Ansel.
Yeah, it's Ansel something. And. But anyway, so then you get this, you know, you get this literal meta. You're watching a movie about people writing about a play and then telling the story about it. And then you have a troupe of, you know, that are there and stuck.
As a result, you have you have a movie that literally says to you, I don't know. They, I mean, and we'll get into it, but literally they say, I don't know what this movie is about. And they basically said it doesn't matter.
Is that about is that not a theme? We don't know what this life is about, and does it matter?
It is.
Why'd you take that picture? I'm a photographer.
I think I felt that part to me felt heavy handed. The whole like
photographer part.
No. The what's this movie about? And like almost trying to play into that. I think what the movie's really about is we don't know what life is about.
Yeah, 100%.
And once you start looking through the lens of this movie is about life, just the broad spectrum of life, it's a lot more enjoyable. However, I didn't get to that part until the end.
It is more enjoyable.
Because the whole time I'm just thinking, I don't know what this movie's about.
And Maya Hawke sells it as the teacher. And they still have to have class after a certain. We're going to spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
I would argue this movie can't be spoiled because you see it in the trailer. Alien visits people.
Yeah.
Hilariously so.
Yeah.
And then Maya has to teach her class of elementary school kids, maybe 10 something. And she's going over the solar system and she gets to this point where she's like, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
And I think she really, first of all, wanted more of her. She was magnetic on screen.
Yeah.
Very charming, wonderful actress. I can't wait to see what she does. Her parents are obviously amazing.
Yeah.
Huge Ethan.
Oh, yeah. Tell them who her parents are.
Ethan Hawke and
Uma Thurman. Uma freaking Thurman.
And she looks like both of them.
And she absolutely does.
And I think she might have their chops.
I think she has the potential to be bigger than either one of them.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I know Uma Thurman's awesome too. I need to see more of her. I was in Kill Bill.
It's fun. I love Ethan Hawke. And that's so funny because I'm a huge Uma Thurman fan.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Dude, Ethan Hawke to me just. By the way, the next movie we're going to talk about reminds me of some of his roles in Before Sunset, After Sunset, and those Linklater movies.
Yeah, the Before trilogy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Sinister.
Yes,
true crime.
Yeah. Yeah,
obsessed, drunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wish Mia Hawke was in this more. A lot of people will know her from Stranger Things if you don't really know her parents.
Yeah,
this
big
movie.
Time.
She came in Stranger Things in what was Steve that Harrington. Season three or I can't remember her. Robin. She plays Robin.
I wanted a higher death count in the last season of Stranger Things. I'm still mad about it.
Hey, I need one of those daggum kids to die. You know what I'm talking about?
I need main characters to die, but
they won't do it. They don't have the nards.
Speaking of nards and death, Wes Anderson's Asteroid City, if some of my takeaways, that's your playground you see these people at. It's always somewhere geographically beautiful with Wes Anderson.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I wanted to, one of my favorite, absolute favorite things about, and I feel like I've been saying set design a lot lately when we're talking about movies, but
some pretty movies.
They're in the middle of the desert, but this is a play, right? This is a play. So you see Edward Norton, who is the writer of Asteroid City.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing this play. And so when you're in the Asteroid City storyline, you know, at this point, you know it's a play. You're watching a play. And they're in the desert. And I'm sure you noticed. But after a certain point, the background all looks flat. It looks It looks very flat in the background, so you almost feel like you're on this huge stage. It looks not real. Like it's not supposed to look real.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So like, at some point, your eye hits like it's not real anymore, and you see kind of It's not so obvious that it looks like a painted scenery,
yeah, like
but it definitely gets. It definitely gets flat.
See, I can't. That guy, I just love it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the artistry.
It adds a lot to it. And he's hitting on another level. His humor is very cool. I'll tell you, there's a part in the movie where I paused. I was laughing so hard.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's when, and I'm trying to remember.
Hey, great movie opposite Oppenheimer, by the way, because there's a bomb test in this, and it's like this little poof in the background.
You know, there's an interesting theory. I'll get into it.
Okay, yeah, do your thing. Do your funny scene.
The scene where Edward Norton's talking to some, I can't remember, maybe it was Adrian Brody who played the director. I can't remember who's in the scene, but he's trying to it was Jason Schwartzman, whatever his character's name is.
He killed it, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So there, he's talking to the writer about his role, right? Mm-hmm. It's all black and white. You can tell when it's not Asteroid City timeline, or it's not the play Asteroid City, because they're in like a black and white.
And they change the aspect ratio, too.
Yeah, they change the aspect ratio. It all looks more real.
Yep.
When it's, so he's talking, and he's trying to, Jason Schwartzman's trying to move the window. He's like, it sticks, and then he just breaks the window. He just punches the window. I laughed so loud. It's the quirkiest little humor.
Yeah.
That was a great. Steve Carell plays.
I love that man.
He plays this guy who works at Asteroid. He has all these like little cabins.
I wanted more of him too.
Yeah, in Asteroid City, and he's not used to people being there. But now there's all these people, and he has to. He has to give one person a tent because the cabin burned down.
It's right beside.
Yeah, so it's like just in between two. And almost every line he has starts off with, yes, of course, I understand. Have you noticed that? Yeah, and then he goes into his tent. I want a Wes Anderson movie where Steve Carell's at the front. So
yes.
I think that would be fantastic.
Uber talented.
Yeah,
He's got some range.
Everybody in this is good.
That I love that. Mm-hmm. I mean, because like, it does, and none of them are like, it's not, it doesn't feel stuffy.
Yeah.
I think an unsung hero, obviously Schwartzman is amazing.
Yeah.
Not Predator. What's he playing opposite Wolverine?
Liv Schreiber. He plays Sabretooth.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Cotton.
I thought he was excellent.
He's Cotton. In Scream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Cotton.
That's what you said earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so good in this.
He's
so good. He has a son. Yeah. He's one of the genius kids, right? Mm-hmm. The Stargazers.
Yeah.
Who always says, dare me to do this. And then they get in that bit of dialogue where he's had enough. You know, they're all having their cocktails and get it right out of the cocktail machine.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. But he has that awesome scene where he finally has enough and he asks his son, why do I got to dare you to do everything? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought... that bit of dialogue, and I'm going to consult my notes here. Mm-hmm. I didn't take any on it, but I thought that scene was amazing because it had his son kind of think, I don't know, I guess just to get attention. So mm-hmm. somebody cares.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was neat. I think Wes Anderson laid bare in this movie, and maybe I'm having an over-romanticized reading of it.
Well, no, I think because like in the third act.
Why do you make pretty movies? Do you want somebody to care?
Yeah.
You know?
There's a part in the movie that made me realize that maybe part of what this movie's about is maybe blurring the line between, I mean, in the literal sense for this movie, is blurring the line between actor and character. But we're also told point blank in this movie, even if you don't know what you're doing, just keep doing it. Like, just keep going forward. And I think what part of the movie is trying to say is even if you're like, I mean, keep going. That's one thing. But
constantly talks about the stories worth still reading and doing. And
yes. Everything. But also, maybe sometimes you blur the line with your authentic self and the self you're putting out there.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of where I took. That's why I think you saw The Real World and the play. And the scene that did that for me, there's one scene. There's only one scene with Margot Robbie in it.
I love that scene.
And
I forgot to mention her.
Right yeah. Here. So.
How do you get her to come on for 5 minutes?
Because it's Wes Anderson.
Wait, you got Barbie to come in the movie for just a couple of seconds.
So Jason Schwartzman's character, you said it earlier, he has to tell his kids that their mom died 3 weeks prior.
Yeah.
And there was a scene where the actor that's playing this part in the play.
In the movie.
Yeah, in the movie. talks to Margot Robbie, who's dressed like this queen.
Oh, it's beautiful. They're both on the balconies. Mm-hmm. It's snowing. Looks like downtown New York.
And she was the one,
black and white,
who was supposed to play his wife in the play. It was who dies. It was a scene that got cut. And so she's doing some other project. That's why she's dressed, whatever. He says a line, and it sounds like it's a mistake, but it's obviously not a mistake.
Yeah.
He says, "You're the wife who is supposed to play my actress."
That's amazing.
And that's
a good line. To me,
that was just like, the lines have blurred.
Yeah.
And I think that, there probably is some kind of commentary to that in Hollywood. But I also just think that that's like we were talking earlier about life and jobs and...
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite parts about doing this podcast, we talked about that prior.
What we are and what we've been and what we're about to do. Both of us have had like kind of shakeups in our careers and like we're doing different things and
crazy coinciding too.
But like there's a it's weird that I'm mentioning this show, but did you ever watch Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
There's an episode
Corey, Topanga, yeah. Eric, oh yeah.
Yeah. So there's one episode where Corey's dad is just really at a loss of who he is. He feels like he works at a grocery store. He's like a manager at a grocery store or a GM at a grocery store, whatever. And so he doesn't want to do that. And so he's blurred the lines between, he just keeps calling himself a grocer because he's blurred the lines between who he is and what he does.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, someone says because he fixes the problem. He goes, "Well, how did you know to do that?" And Corey goes, "Because he's dad." And he goes, "Yeah, that's mostly who I am."
That's a good
one. And that has stuck with me.
That hit me.
Because that's mostly who we are, you and me.
Yeah.
And I think the movie's trying to say, it's so easy to blur, make yourself what you do, right?
Yeah.
Because our main character is a war photographer, and he comes off very... not cold.
Stoic, almost?
Stoic.
Yeah.
And I think maybe because of what he does, you know?
Wes Anderson. Is he Wes Anderson?
Maybe.
Can I piggyback?
Yeah,
I love that you picked that out. Because one of my favorite things I learned in school was an American Lit class. And it was transcendentalism.
Mm-hmm.
Henry David Thoreau, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Yep.
You're not a farmer. You're a man farming.
Yeah.
Your identity is not in what you do.
Yeah.
And I adore that.
Yeah.
You blur that line, some things can happen.
Yep.
You know, but you're not. You're like, it's like C.S. Lewis said, when you're interacting with people, whether you're screwing them over, loving them, whatever, you're doing that with immortals.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because obviously us both believing in God and truly believe that. And we're not, ants aren't, you know, drawing the Mona Lisa.
Right.
That's not happening in the animal kingdom.
Right.
We're
right.
set apart.
Yeah.
You know, we believe we're in God's image. Whatever you believe, you can tell humans are different.
Mm.
Right. And I think it's incredibly important. Even if you're like, we said this is going to get emotional, but if you're listening to this, caught up in a job, don't like it, don't whatever, do not reduce your identity to that thing.
Right. I mean, so easy to do.
Yeah. Especially if you're Wes. Think about if you're Wes Anderson. Sign me up with that identity.
One of the things I was going to say is like, it's weird that Oppenheimer and this movie does kind of touch on the atom bomb. I heard someone now. This is not my own analysis.
I don't still have it, Bobby.
This is a, and I'm sorry, whoever.
Good art steals, baby.
I'm blanking on the guy's YouTube, but he was I just saw this video pop up, and I just had to watch it.
If you find it, I'll put it in show notes.
Yeah, yeah, I'll find it and send it to you. But he was talking about how, Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy and Interstellar, he threw Interstellar in there, being perhaps a peak of Nolan, and then he mentioned Grand Budapest as being a peak of Wes Anderson, and how it's interesting how both have kind of gone back to not simpler, I don't want to say simpler movies, but kind of like how we talked about with Hitchcock, doing those Vertigo and Psycho and
North by Northwest.
Yeah, and but we talked about how maybe North by Northwest was a little bit more
commercial.
Commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
So kind of that's formulaic. A good word for it. Yeah. So
even if it was inventing and defining.
Yes. What yeah. The yeah. Was. So they've kind of gone in a way like Nolan and Wes have kind of gone back to that a little bit, and both of these last two could be a commentary on, and this guy talks about it so much better than I.
Yeah,
but he's
I'm sure
basically doing a commentary on. It's almost like saying like I don't know that I can go bigger than I've gone, in a way. Yeah. Like I've kind of said a lot of what I'm going to say, and. It's interesting. It's a lot of artists do that, though. I think a lot of artists believe they hit a peak, and they don't know if they can top.
Maybe
that.
They do, and it's okay
and maybe
too.
And maybe that's why I think this movie could be his like you said earlier, his response to people saying like, well, he doesn't have a lot of emotion.
Interstellar was that for Nolan.
Yep.
They said the same thing about Nolan. Mm-hmm. And Interstellar, it's like, here you go, cry for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Again, a lot of dad vibes.
Yes, yeah.
You know, right, yeah. Which is such a wonderful love to see and interact with in film. I love where you came at this movie, genuinely.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's not even remotely my favorite one.
It is not mine either.
I
still very much enjoyed it, though.
I do want to watch it again. I don't know which one I give a lot of repeat viewing to.
I had two space IPAs the size of my arm when I watched this in theaters on opening day. So I had to rewatch it. We'll put it to you that way.
Oh, I remember what day you saw it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put it to you that way. I went to space too, almost. I had to rewatch it.
Oh, I'm sorry, people. That's the inside joke that you don't get to hear.
We'll just say ER. We'll leave her there. 5-star review and ask. 5-star review and say emergency room. I'll tell you on the next episode if I get a couple of those. But I had to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Obviously aesthetically charming.
Yeah.
I wanted to see, even on my first watch, the little theater I was in, the bigger one, but like it was a small screen, was enchanted. We all laughed together. Cried together. Everything at the same, like he had them under a spell, and it makes a lot of sense. It was opening day.
Yeah.
That's his big hitters. That's his fans.
Yeah.
But some of my notes with you, I wanted to, I heard someone, it might have been Sean on the Big Picture, say this is a Wes Anderson hangout film, which is interesting. I wanted people to at least take from my view, and what I took, it's more than a postcard aesthetic, although he did nail that.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of the most impressive shots I've ever seen where he's panning left to right, and it shows the entire city with like 50 layers of things happening, perfectly staged, perfectly blocked. I mean, just the colors were contrasting perfect. It was one of the most impressive things because he would do long shots in this.
Yeah.
Where he just go left to right, up to down. Yeah. And all this was created. All these stages were made.
Mm-hmm.
It was so pretty. But I think some themes I took were, first of all, one you can't really get around is because, and I think it goes more than service value, is religion. Because Tom Hanks.
Oh, right. And Schwarzman. Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And I think it's more, I don't think Wes Anderson was interested in saying, you know, I believe in God, your name. It was more, you know, Protestant and he's, it was more than that.
It was interesting.
It was existentialism.
There's a, to elaborate that, your point, Jason Schwartzman's character is sitting down and he's explaining to his three daughters.
Yes.
That
oh, beautiful scene.
His son and three daughters. His son, and three daughters. Daughters.
Yeah.
And he's explaining to them that his wife, their mother, passed away.
3 weeks
and,
ago.
And did so 3 weeks ago. And here she is in a Tupperware container. And
that's such a Wes.
Yeah, I know. And one of the girls asks, is she in heaven? And he says something. I'm trying to be exact. Like he said, not for me because I don't believe that, but you are Episcopalian.
Yes, that's it. I don't even look at that because that's like,
yeah. And then when Tom Hanks comes into the picture, he said he references being Episcopalian.
Yes, he goes, which doesn't exist for me, of course, but you're Episcopalian. He goes, let's say she's in heaven.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is that they don't, yeah, you're right, it is interesting, because this is somebody who just sees war, so there's this, like, undertone of maybe atheism.
Yeah, he is. He says it. His son goes into that.
Yeah.
Yet, Tom Hanks and the daughters still represent this hope, this belief, you know, in God, and I think that Wes plays with it in a way that, first of all, it's amazing there. It's grief. So he's showing you these two avenues to take your grief and what that looks like.
Yeah. Grief's a big part of it.
Yes. I think existentialism and contemplation of it, like you got stars, the ground, they're very much just in a desert.
Yeah.
That's what's on, you know, display there. Heaven, alien, you think you know this reality. All of a sudden, this one event happens. And Maya Hawke trying to teach her kids the next day, she's like, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah. Do you think that there was room in this movie to kind of was there a play to COVID here a little bit? Like once they see the alien,
they're quarantined.
They're not allowed to leave, so they're quarantined. And at that point, school's trying to happen, and Maya Hawke's character just does not know. Like you said, how do you go on teaching about the solar system and planets and space and avoid the elephant in the room, which is that they all just saw a very quirky alien come down and still in a...
You know who played the alien? You called him quirky, right?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, I saw his name on the cast and I was like, I don't remember him being in it.
Yeah. I didn't know
this is so random. One of my other favorite parts. So the narrator is Bryan Cranston and he kind of exists outside of all of it. Even though
talking directly to us.
Yeah, he's narrating. He's telling us that there's a writer and a director who's making this play, Asteroid City. So like, it's almost three layers.
Yeah, 100%.
And one of my favorite moments, because when you see him, it's always in the black and white setting, and he's narrating everything. And one of my favorite moments is, I think it was ScarJo standing there, and they kind of pan to the side, and Bryan Cranston is standing there in the color, like, Asteroid City shot, and he's just staring straight.
Yes.
And then he goes, wait, am I not in this part? And she says, no, and he just walks off.
Yeah,
like it's so weird. It's so weird. And so
I know.
Quirky. Yeah.
Part of it, because like I think Wes Anderson is saying, this is art, this is a play, this is a movie, it's all of it in one, and doesn't mind breaking those walls and you knowing that's the medium you're in.
Yeah.
You don't really suspend your belief because he's already telling you it's fake.
That's true.
And I think it's neat, too, because part of inspiration for this, and because he goes to Americana 50, 60, you know what I mean, is there was an interview he gave, and it was on IndieWire, but he wants to talk about that era, and he said he was so fascinated, him and Owen Wilson, with Marlon Brando, James Dean, Montgomery Clift, Elia Kazan, Marilyn Monroe, who ScarJo a little bit modeled after. I think there's some more. And he says they really loved those movies. And he thought it was odd they loved movies from the 70s because, but the 50s was really the center of it for them.
All his movies kind of have a timeless
piece
to it. Like you can watch Moonrise Kingdom, for example, and not have any idea what year it takes place in.
That's neat.
You don't know.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's timeless.
Yes, I like that. Yeah. It's ambiguous.
Tim Burton kind of does that too in some of his movies. Not all, but a lot of
I'm with you. I completely agree. And he was kind of blown away by 50s like New York stage. He thought it was its own special thing.
Yeah.
And he likes the interaction of theater to film. But I think that comes across in this. It does get weird. It gets weird. It gets heady. But I put it in my notes. I was like, I thought it laid bare to that time period. I also think he kind of tackled the American dream. It shows some questions with begged, Like, now we look back at that era as the American dream. Mm-hmm. He takes you to that, and he's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a lesser theme. It's more like...
I can see that, though.
Art subjective.
Someone, I don't remember the author, but someone wrote a book called... referring to the 50s, it was the 1950s that never were. Because it's the way that we perceive it to be in sitcom and movies, and that all... That all Americana, chase the dream, but maybe how that wasn't exactly accurate.
That
because it's ignoring all the dirty parts about it, you know.
Yeah, like it's probably pretty decent because the boomers were just doing it,
right?
And we had this giant boom,
right?
Or their parents,
but like that time period, we see the pristine cars and we see the suits and ties and the dresses and we see all that, but we don't see. Maybe all the bad stuff about it,
100%.
Like all the racism and all the
100%,
all that gritty stuff.
Oh, you're all the same struggles we have now in your family unit, your job.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. He said he did use Paris, Texas as a visual reference point for Astro City, which I thought was neat.
Interesting.
That's a movie on my list, big time.
What movie?
It's called Paris, Texas.
Oh, it's called
called that, and it's a
I haven't seen it.
We'll cover it because I think it'll be right up our alley. But I put to that again, I was going to watch this no matter what. It's a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah.
But I also thought, I asked myself as a substantive as his prior films. And like, I liked it. Like all of a sudden you're faced with, on top of everything else, you're no longer alone in the universe. Mm-hmm. I have to change my lesson plan. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was bigger than just her changing her lesson plan.
Yeah.
You know, and the theme, whether I contrived it or I picked up on it, I don't know. I'd have to ask Wes, and we got him.
Oh, good.
It's been a while since I've said that. I felt good. You know what that felt like? So, is how do you accept you're not alone in the universe, in your play, in life, and can you allow yourself to, and what does that look like?
Mm.
And I think that that doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, like, what, like, if you were to go to a group of people or something, what if you realized God's real?
Mm-hmm.
What if you realize, you know, something outside of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Or what if you, even in a way you're searching for that because you do need a meaning outside of yourself?
Yeah.
And you get all these people. I just think I actually think the movie, and I'm asking those in ambiguity on purpose,
mm-hmm.
but I think the movie asks all of that of us.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think it even then puts on, you know, lays bare like other people's path, whether it's Tom Hanks to Episcopalian or it's mm-hmm. the other guy, you know, mm-hmm. And their paths that kind of led them that. But then you get this. It is. I mean, it's a layered movie. I know that I would probably need to watch it 15 more times.
Yeah, it's very layered.
And because then you have this whole acting trope that's there. It's not just the stargazers.
Yeah.
And then that amazing little. And there's so many little scenes stitched together that are just really charming and great acting. And that little. The stargazers doing the memory game, but they're all so smart.
They my
gosh. Saying the names.
Yeah.
And stuff like.
I would have. Second name.
Yeah. I would have shot them all. I would have been smoking and asked if I want to play poker. I wouldn't have been there because I'm not a genius. But it's a great Tilda Swinton. But it's a – I really did enjoy it. Like I said, I had to watch it again for obvious reasons. But watched it with Elena. And remember I threw Lacey's name. I almost did it again.
You did just do it.
There's again. A lot. I did, yeah. Freudian slip. There's a lot here. I think it's a fun movie. If you like Wes Anderson, you've already seen it.
Yeah.
If you don't, just know it's tough to approach.
I would.
But streaming.
I would say maybe check out one of his other movies first. That
he
way
has a movie coming out on Netflix this year. It's a short.
Have you seen it?
But it's in a Roald Dahl book.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, literally in October.
Interesting.
Are you familiar with Roald Dahl?
Yeah. Well, Willy Wonka. Charlie Chocolate Factory.
Big FG or whatever.
The BFG.
That might not be
The Big FG. The BFG.
It's only 37 minutes long, and I love how he wore it. It's the wonderful story of Henry Sugar.
Oh, interesting.
But the reason he said that, too, is cool, because he talked about like real complete stories being best on the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
But that he thought this would be, you know, that's why he's... It's kind of neat. He like kind of took a dig, but he's still going to do it. Him and Roald Dahl seem like a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
No, so you're saying...
He needs to be the one doing Charlie Chocolate... He needs to be the one doing Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
We've had enough of those. We don't need another one. But he would have but he would have been the one to do it.
Oh, I'd be fascinated.
He would have been the one to do it.
I wish he'd do something. I do want my next Wes Anderson, like subvert all expectations. Come out with like an ugly movie. Sci-fi.
Yeah. I'd love to see how he would handle a horror movie though.
Oh,
man. You know why I thought that? Because when the alien landed, it's so quirky and so strange 100%. Looking, and it's not gross and it's not weird, but it's kind of creepy.
The alien?
Yeah. It's a little creepy.
I almost kind of found him like funny and cute.
He is. That's the thing is that like he looks just human enough that it's bothersome.
Look at him in this leather like sex suits.
Okay.
That you're wearing right now. Sorry, people.
I can Pulp Fiction. No, I'm not.
What'd you say?
Like in Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Have you seen Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, yes. You ask me that every time.
Well, I just don't feel like you talk about it enough.
I know. Well, I know. I love it. I adore it.
Yeah.
I have it behind you. This is a cool collector's edition. My dad got it in a estate sale. I love Pulp Fiction.
We got to talk about that movie one day.
No. Pulp Fiction's incredible. I've gone down some rabbit holes on Pulp Fiction, how it's really about time periods of music.
There's
some really cool theories on Pulp Fiction.
What do you think is the behind the Band-Aid? Not the Band-Aid, the suitcase. I don't know why I said... Oh, because he's got a Band-Aid on the back of his head.
We got to save it.
We got to save it. Let's talk about it after this. I want to know. Because we'll forget about it next time.
Yeah, we probably won't even talk about it after this. That's how we go. But
yeah.
Wes Anderson's Asteroid City. I say watch it. I'm a feeling you're going to be a little more cautious with your recommendation.
I'm a little bit cautious. Only if you're not... If you haven't seen a Wes Anderson movie before... I think get your feet wet with something else before you dive into this one.
That's fair.
Watch
Big Mama's House.
Watch Grand Budapest. That's probably the most
approachable
one that he's done.
While still being amazing.
Moonrise Kingdom, Life Aquatic.
Life Aquatic gets a little weird for me.
It does.
I think I actually like this potentially more.
I meant to say the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, Royal Tenenbaums rocks.
Watch Royal Tenenbaums. It's movie's pretty awesome. Straightforward.
It's funny. It's themed.
It's themes that you already know. You know.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. A Texan's making stuff like this.
Yeah.
No, I mean, shout out Texas. Nothing against it. I'm just saying, like these. You know what I mean? These are so auteur. I would, and almost like European.
Yeah.
In style. Yeah. And some design choices. So we got Wes Anderson's Asteroid City. Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
What's your favorite scary movie? I'm kidding. We are going to get into Past Lives. Came out at Sundance, debuted in January. People were talking about it in February. Got Oscar Best Picture buzz then. We will let you know if we believe that, if we were going to tout it, if we're going to shout it from the mountaintops or of South Korea or New York City
right.
or Montreal.
Yeah.
But this is directorial debut by Celine Song. Stars Greta Lee, T.O.U., John Magaro, Moo Song Ah, which is the young Nor. But we'll leave her there. We always encourage you to go to the IMDb, but these three take up most of your screen time.
Yeah.
Bobby, I have been wanting to cover this movie. I'll just give you a little for the people in the industry. I got this movie on a hard drive at my movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And no key to watch it.
Oh,
no
wow.
KDM.
Wow.
So it just sat there taunting me. I try to make a pitch to my booker. We should get it. It'll sell some tickets in our area, downtown location, etc. And he said no.
Wow.
He said, no, it wouldn't. And I was wrong. I did make a I pushed for us to get what's that fake, that faux documentary environmental movie? How to Blow Up a Pipeline. I was wrong. We didn't sell anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, people get cultured. We'll start there. But I have wanted to watch Past Lives for a very long time. Where Asteroid City is on Peacock, this movie you do have to buy for $19.99 to watch it. It had a very limited theatrical run. A24 is the distributor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised it didn't get a little more theaters, to be honest.
Yeah.
Very profitable company lately. But there's always more that meets the eye to that, too, when you really get into financials. So, you know, I'm sure they had their reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But Past Lives to give the people – because this one genuinely – we'll announce when we spoil.
Yeah.
But this one – people may actually not know the premise, too.
Yeah.
Go for it. It does matter a whole heck of a lot in this particular film. But again, it's subtitled. This movie comes out of South Korea. But I don't love that summary. I'm on IMDb. I don't love that summary. But basically, people, Nora and Hae-sung, Two deeply connected childhood friends are wrested apart from Nora's family because they immigrate from South Korea. 20 years later, they're reunited for one fateful week as they confront notions of love and destiny. Okay, so we're not going to do the thing where we just... It might be a little more beneficial here where we do the thing where we walk through scene by scene. But the gist, if I can give people, you know, is you have these... They're in elementary school and they like each other. You know, they genuinely do. Then potentially middle school. Maybe they're 12. And she... is too big for South Korea, right? Greta Lee's character, Nora. She wants, and her family does, they immigrate to New York City because she says you can't get a Nobel Prize and be in Korea. And so you get this incredible shot where she's walking in the same frame. She's walking up the stairs. He's walking down that way in beautiful, beautiful South Korea. And you get this departure in literally two completely different directions. I want to say this right off the bat, Bobby, that I cannot believe this is a debut for this director.
I know.
I'm not lying to you. It floored me.
Yeah, she had a. She definitely has a grasp on
genius level stuff.
Storytelling without like just behind the camera.
This is exactly. This is old school filmmaking, people. This is shots holding way longer than you're used to. Silence used, empty space used.
Yeah, no, you're right. And on top of that, telling a story that literally in some form or fashion we all have experienced, right? Like maybe not exactly the immigrant and leaving the country, but having this one that got away, or having this, even if it's not romantic, it was just this life of like, what if my life had gone that way? Right? Yeah. Like, what if my life had been with this person or in this country or doing this thing? Or if I, what if I chose the family over career or the career over the family? Like, what would life be now? So you have a very, very relatable story.
What it made me think of? Do you want me to give the premise, give it all real quick, and then we'll kind of break it down?
Yeah.
So childhood sweethearts, kind of separate lives. He searches her out. Her dad's a filmmaker. He searches her out on his IMDb, basically. They then connect 12 years later on Skype. They're each doing their own thing. Then they make it a turn because they could not visit each other for over a year and a half. They said,
yeah, we're going to stop. She said, we need to stop this, and then maybe.
Floors him. He hates it.
Yeah. Maybe down the line.
Yeah. Can be in never the same know, place. Right? One of those things. Right. 12 years later, she's been married for 7.
Yeah.
And he just broke up with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And they reconnect. So, but one of the themes, okay, and I know this one will be a tad quicker. But people do not take that as this is less anything than Asteroid City.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
But this movie, from a filmmaking perspective, if I may. It lets you sit in scenes. That doesn't happen in modern theatrical releases anymore. It's only an hour and 45, and you sit in scenes.
Yeah.
It takes time.
You sure do.
This director... Some of the coolest framing I've ever seen. Some of the most dynamic blocking I've seen since Spielberg.
The blocking is great.
It's incredible. Yeah.
I need to go back and study it more, but almost Hitchcock level.
Yeah.
Like
blocking. There were some scenes that to me reminded me of Vertigo. Obviously, 100%. In the Mood for Love has its fingerprints all over.
100%.
Excellent movie. There's some Vertigo-esque scenes.
Yeah, there really is.
There's a shot of the bridge in New York with the carousel underneath, and it looks just like the shot of the Golden Gate Bridge.
There are some scenes where her husband, the way he's centered in the frame, keeping them apart from each other physically.
Yeah.
Putting them on opposite sides of the frame.
Yes.
Light and dark. Really interesting to put him at the center when he's not the main character.
Yeah.
There's also this struggle with like her duality, right? Because she's losing what she called like her Koreanness, right? Like her,
yeah,
her culture, because it's the Pulitzer, right? At first, and then it's Nobel Prize, then Pulitzer, then Tony.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's assimilating into the American dream.
That is so funny.
You know what I mean?
That's because a great like call.
because it's not about the greater good kind of thing. Not that art isn't good, but like, you know,
yeah,
a Tony, although a great accolade,
yeah,
is not the same thing as a Nobel Peace Prize.
No.
Right. I found that very interesting.
That's a great call. Yeah, because that's a great call.
One of the shattering scenes for me is towards obviously the ending. And there's a part.
Do you
where,
want me to go and say spoiler?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spoiler warning.
Say it again.
Because should we just say the ending and then like should I finish?
Yeah. Tell us about the rest.
Okay. And then we'll definitely get into it. And you text me otherwise.
Yeah.
But one of the things I think one of the cutest things I say is he the Korean. So. Okay, one of the coolest concepts right away. So we're given this. They reconnect 12 years, then Skype, then they're adults. She's married, right? Yeah. Life's happened, but they're still it's 20s and 30s. I love that she focused on that time period.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things. So he comes back for a week in New York City.
Yeah.
Husband's there, everything.
Yeah.
Right off the bat to the husband, what are you doing?
Right.
The lack of guardrails there.
Right.
The child, there's no need for any of this. You could have talked it out. You could have banged this out over Skype.
Yeah.
You know, you could have, I think, open communication there, guarding against certain things, because let's be honest, like, why open a door to this and not protect your marriage?
Mm-hmm. I thought the whole time, like, if I'm the husband, like, this is strange.
No, and in her part, too, they could have really talked through this.
Yeah.
I think they could have, but you wouldn't have the movie.
Yeah.
So the Korean, past little boyfriend, but childhood friend, right? Mm-hmm. Played amazingly by T.O.U.
Oh, yeah.
He did more with his eyes in the third act of this movie than I think most actors do with their lives.
Yeah. No, I know it. He's perfect.
He played Jung Hae-sung. He played it. I mean, incredible performance.
Incredible.
And
truly.
He keeps calling himself. He comes for this thing, and they're talking. She's like, I'm married, this and that. And she goes, how is your girlfriend? And he's like, well, we're not together anymore.
Mm.
You know? And he has got this, and this is very Korean. It's a very high-context culture thing where he thinks he's too ordinary for her.
Yeah.
He needs to make more money. I mean, that can go everywhere, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I think this movie plays with is this idea, and his idea of ordinary, but then what Nora sees, mm-hmm. where things that ignite life and even question rationality, income, money, ignores it all is love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is what makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
Like Robin Williams said in
Dead Poet Society,
we stay alive. The engineer, that's all great, but we stay alive for poetry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, for love.
Yeah.
And then there's some amazing shots as during all this. We're going to get quick. We're going to be a little quicker. Go watch Past Lives. I'm going to go say right now, it's amazing, but
you
get this.
It is.
There's one scene that's left is a shot. The right side of the frame is a building. They both take up 50%, and it's 100% both paths in life where you can be.
Yeah.
The mundane, the whatever, the idealized version. It might not even be real anymore, but always can be. Layered shots, frames within frames, the light and dark on opposing sides. This director is an artist. Again, horrible mistake on the marriage to even let that in. But I just think that this is a very, very layered movie where you get incredible feelings from everybody, even the husband, Arthur.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what his role would be because the movie opens up with someone, people watching them at a bar, guessing the relationship status of the three of them.
What's brave about the movie is that any movie with this formula more often than not would take the easy road and make Arthur the bad guy.
They
do the love triangle, but they would justify
so much more than that.
They would justify seeing the two people in love put together and they will find a way to make the husband the big bad guy. Maybe he was cheating the whole time. Maybe he was whatever. They don't do that because life is not that
How real were his insecurities?
Oh, the husband's 100%. Insecurities
when her childhood friend comes in.
I mean, he says it flat out. Like, he's here for you.
He even says, I think the husband's masochistic, first of all, telling them to hang out alone and all that stuff over and over again. But I get it. But during this monologue where they're in bed, and he's basically downplaying himself. Again, not sure. Masochism is that insecurity you start with, because you know probably on a level you're wanting her to say you're wrong.
Yeah,
but she says he's saying all these things like our life is boring. You met me at the artist retreat and all that, and he's the childhood sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Comes back, all that, and she goes, "You're forgetting the part where I love you."
Mm.
You know, and he says that. He's trying to almost convince her that she wants more, and she stops him with that line.
Yeah.
But it goes quick. Like, I love that the movie highlights how ordinary things can have such gravitas, because one, this director and how beautiful this film is shot and looks and the score and the incredible performances. But also there's a Red Door, Mood for Love. I already said that. But the bar dialogue is fascinating because you go back there at the end, right?
Yeah.
You go back there, and the three of them are the bar. The husband's actually on the right side, they're left. Mm-hmm. She's sitting there talking to him. The husband can speak Korean elementarily, rudimentarily. You know what? He speaks a little bit of Korean. And they're talking, and it might be the last 10 or 15 minutes of this film, some of those powerful scenes and moods that you feel. We're talking about how what a movie makes us feel that I've seen in cinema in a long time.
Yeah.
The husband. So they're just talking, and I'm trying to speed it up here to give the people this, go experience this movie.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. There's a. We do you want to tell them the ending? And
yes. Okay. So then they're all talking. And you start to catch the vibe that in this dialogue, both TOU or Jung Hong Song and Nora, there's a concept that you need to understand first, a very, very Korean concept. Okay. And then I'll give a kind of a comp American thing for it. And I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Great. I'm glad you're prepared.
I actually do have it written down, which is crazy that by written down, I mean typed in my notes. This movie does do a great job of keeping its like resolution hidden, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought this would be telecasted.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as I saw it, because Elena was kind of watching me watch, I was like, okay. I said, I hate movies where there's cheating. I hate movies where this. I'm not saying one or another. Although we did announce spoilers, but like, this movie subverts all that. It's way better.
Yeah.
It's way more complex.
Yeah.
Injun. Okay. Injun. So this Korean belief, Injun, I apologize for the mispronunciation, they talk about all the time is that if you pass somebody on the street, you may have in past lives interacted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're friends with someone in past lives, you may have interacted.
Yeah.
It may have been romantic. It may depend. If you have feelings for someone, you probably have been with or will be with in a life, whether it's a past life or a future life. So Injun is incredibly important in this because basically he comes back. This is Jim and Pam if Roy didn't suck.
Yeah. 100%.
That's what this movie 100% is.
100% Office reference.
And big time. And then in the end, right? So they go through that. They're at the bar. Some of the best dialogue I've heard in a movie. Very, very
length letter. It's gut wrenching.
Yeah.
It's gut wrenching.
The husband, you feel for him. Mm-hmm. They're talking, but then Jung Hae Sung gets to the point basically, and he is this handsome, perfect looking ex Korean military, but he thinks he's nothing, and the husband's fine too. Yeah. He loves her. He sees that. Jung Hae Sung sees that. And he recognizes, he gets to a point where he basically said, and then we get to it when they walk away, but look, I loved you. I did. But the you I love is also the you that left.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't that person, then I don't love who you are.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know?
And how do you know that you still know someone 20 years later?
Yes. Yeah, there's some leaps.
Yeah.
So we get to that, and then he's very complimentary of the husband. Even says, I think, me and you have Jung-un, or whatever I said earlier. and which is super interesting. You know,
that's true.
The poor self-deprecating husband, but he was saying that and because he obviously felt some sort of appreciation that I can close the chapter on this girl, and I also know she's happy. Yeah. Because when you really care, that does matter.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've cared at any point about someone, there's some sort of peace knowing they're all right.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not. Now, I say that not in like obviously a marriage capacity. It's you and her. We're doing this life. We're doing this thing till death. Yeah. It's so beautiful. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's this, I'm going to misquote it, but it's the thing that just ripped my heart out. It's, how did he word it? I mean, this is what you're talking about now, but he said, is it possible that this is a past life?
Yeah.
And that there's a future version of us that's together. So
she says, I don't know.
Yeah. Here's my little personal connection, right?
Do you remember real quick, to piggyback really fast. Yeah. When he's talking about you're the one that leaves in my story, in our Enyan, in this life, he is to Arthur, you're someone who stays.
Oh, wow.
And that's how he thinks that's why that life they're meant to be.
Yeah. God, that's so sad.
No. Yeah. And Arthur saying he's glad he came was kind of wild. It's a very emotionally delicate movie, handled with care and craftsmanship. Oh, yeah. I cannot believe this is a directorial debut.
This is not,
I'll give the ending to then if you want to get into your
Yeah, no, go thing. For it. Yeah.
Well, because it's amazing where they all go back to their house, the married couple's house. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to walk him to his Uber. Mm-hmm. Great long shot of that. Mm-hmm. And they just stare at each other. Nora and Jung Hung Song stare at each other waiting on his Uber. They do more with their faces, I promise you.
Yeah.
I've seen in most of the actors in movies I've seen.
And it's wild.
I can't even, like, I started watching, I was like, I wanted to laugh and say, this is silly. How are they able to do this with their face? Mm-hmm. How's the director able to do it with everything that led up to this moment? Mm-hmm. And you think they're going to hug or kiss. And that's when they give your dialogue. He says the past lives. And there's an awesome thing where his niece says, what do you think about in the future? Could we be, you know? Yeah. And he says, and she goes, I don't know. He says, I see you then.
Oof.
I thought was interesting.
I know it. Like, he walks.
It's a cope.
Because the movie almost makes you think that he is getting closure. And I think in a way he does.
I think in a way he does.
In a way she does. But there's also part of him that's like, I'm never going to shut this door all the way.
He does tell the husband earlier to come to Korea. He just kills him. No, but then she does this long left to right frame, this long one shot walk back. Mm-hmm. Her husband embraces her. He opens her little gate.
Yeah.
And she bawls her eyes out over another man to her husband's chest. I have complexity feelings. On the surface, was like, what's going on here? Then I challenge myself. Because I'm a man, I know you have to fight for your marriage.
Yeah.
I know you have to protect it.
Yeah.
I know people are coming for it.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen the divorce rates.
100%. You gotta do things I've been part different. Of that divorce rate.
You know?
Yeah.
And I say that with absolute compassion.
No, you're right. It's
my
hard.
My parents, everything.
It's hard.
It's brutal. It's very hard.
And I'm a remarried person, and the divorce rate for remarried people is insane.
Really?
Yes, it's a lot worse.
But I challenge myself, instead of just getting mad at that scene, to dig deeper, cut through the layers, and maybe that she was just releasing so much emotion, going all the way back to immigrating and the goodbye, that she was just releasing it to the safe place of her husband. Mm. And maybe there's some sort of vulnerability there that isn't romantic necessarily.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, I think so.
But I think the movie does a great job of keeping its resolution hidden. I told you that. You get promised a cathartic release. You get something better. But I wanted to say this, and then I will tell you this, okay? One, it's beautiful that Jung Hong Sung loved her for her.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to stay, she would have been a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the only romance ever where you didn't want them to end up together?
You know, that's what I was going to say, is that you don't root against any of these characters.
That's great. I did root for. I rooted for marriage.
Well, yeah. No. Don't get me wrong. I rooted for marriage, but
they're complex characters.
But it's so complex because
so lovable.
With that, taking the marriage part of it,
yeah, please
out.
Yeah,
you know, I've been that guy.
Jung Hae-sung.
Yeah. Guy. So like,
oh, it's so easy to root for him.
It's so easy to root. Yeah. And a lot of times in like love triangles, you can even get mad at the central person. Like, there's even times in The Office where I'm like, Pam.
Yo, 100%.
And it's so.
I've gotten mad at Jim. I get mad at yeah. Jim for the kiss.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
There,
I didn't start off that way, though.
There is. So for you to not feel that way about Nora?
Nora.
Yeah. For you to not feel that way about Nora is special in a movie. That you, yeah, you great don't point. You don't at
no, I got chills when you said the director took that off the table.
I took it off the table. Because you've seen the version of this where the woman's awful or the man, whoever's the central person, is awful and she has to go make her apologies and she has to fix it, or the husband's a bad guy, or the current boyfriend is a Roy is a bad guy.
None of these people are bad.
And none of these bad or the other guy, the new guy, is like a snake in the grass, and it's none of that. And you feel just as bad for her because she, not only is she in the crossroads between these two people, if you want to take the romance out of it, he represents her old life in Korea, her culture, and her husband represents her assimilation into her new
the West.
Yeah, the West. So
she even said being around Jung Hae-sung made her feel less Korean.
100%.
That's
so
wild.
So it's weird how it is about a love triangle.
Yeah.
But it's so much more because her whole identity is at stake. That's why I think it's so important that I'm blanking on his name.
The husband is
Arthur. No, the other guy.
Jung Hae-sung.
Okay. He says that line about what you said about, you know, the one I love left or whatever. Yeah. Like
in this, she has this
duality that I don't know. Cause I'm a white guy that was born in America, mm-hmm. but I'm sure that anyone who has, I just had a cousin, and congratulations to them. He just married, him and his wife just got married over the weekend. She's from Peru. She just got here like last week. And I can't imagine the duality.
I love that you focus on that because my head in clouds romance.
Yeah.
And you really,
well, I think that's where you're go first, but
that's a great theme. Mm-hmm. And I thought, can I tell you this too? I love that you said that because I do think it represents. There's a quote I heard forever ago. Me and Elena talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. Cheryl Strayed wrote books. Have you heard of Cheryl Strayed? She's an author.
Mm-mm, no.
White American lady. She wrote Tiny Beautiful Things, Torch, Brave Enough, and Wild. Mm. Wild is the famous one. It got made into a movie with Reese Witherspoon.
Yes, I've seen the movie.
Okay, have you really?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, I have not, but she's the author of the book.
Okay.
She has this amazing quote. I heard her on an interview, maybe with Tim Ferriss or something. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Or Neil Gaiman was there or something. But she said, I'll read the quote where it comes from, and I'll take the concept, and I think this movie is this. I think one of the themes. She says, I'll never know, and neither will you, of the life you don't choose.
Mm.
We'll only know that whatever that sister life was, it was important and beautiful and not ours. It was the ghost ship that didn't carry us.
Mm.
There's nothing to do but salute it from the shore.
Mm.
So she introduced a concept to my life years ago, and I've never even read her work, but I heard this in an interview, called it your ghost ship life.
Ooh.
Where you're doing yours, and you look over there at the sea, and that's the life that if you would have made all these other decisions.
Wow, that's
this movie.
Yeah, it is.
That's this movie.
If it's cool, I want to share a personal.
Please. I said my stuff.
No, before I ever even saw the movie, I mean, I've talked a little bit about, but my life has been wild the last few years. I got divorced. I remarried. I have a baby. We're in the process of moving. It's
Changing jobs,
everything. My life looks 100% different today than it did 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, everything has changed.
Hey, you're still an 8.5.
8.5, 9.
Hey, sorry, people.
Sorry, people. So, yeah, that's the...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going for it. Have you ever watched Scrubs? Okay, you're having a seizure over there.
Ever watch what?
Scrubs.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so I don't want no Scrubs.
Yeah, no. It's a like a hospital like comedy. And,
oh, I've never seen.
And,
it.
And the main character wants to get like he sees the janitor like going to the bathroom and he's like,
"Is that Sinbad?"
No. He sees something on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, you need to get that checked out. Like that could be cancer."
Oh, I see.
And he gets it checked out and he goes, "I got great news. It's benign." He goes, "Yeah, benign, 9.5" Okay, so no, anyway, the serious line. So my life's completely changed. I met my wife 16 years ago.
That's crazy.
I met her at a birthday party. I immediately wanted to go out with her. We went on one date and nothing happened after
that. Oh, that is a... Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
So that was 16 years ago.
Then you went to Seoul, South Korea.
I was 18 years old. We went obviously different ways.
Yeah.
We stayed friends. I moved 2 hours north. She moved 3.5 hours south. And when I say we kept in touch, it was like I posted something on Facebook, she commented, she posted something, I replied to the story. It was, we didn't.
Nothing. Yeah.
It was, you know, she'd come home. The first few years, if she came home, a bunch of friends would get together and we'd hang out or whatever. We went our own ways. She mm-hmm. had her life. I had my life. My life kind of fell apart and her life fell apart and eventually we found each other again and it happened like dominoes fell.
That is an amazing parallel to this film.
I got very emotional.
At 18 you weren't at the right time.
100%. I carried a torch for her for in some ways maybe the whole time, but like we weren't each other's lives. We both moved on. But
to the point of married and everything.
Yes. And unfortunately my marriage ended for, we both good people. We just had to go our
right.
Own
nothing
way.
To do with Lacey or
No, God, no.
Yeah.
And then we both found each other again and before I watched this movie, we were driving through our hometown,
yeah,
and we passed by a house that I used to rent. I was in college,
yeah.
And I won't share the exact memory because it's just too convoluted. But I told her that I was sharing with my wife a memory from like years and years ago.
Okay,
like 13 years ago, where she said something to me. That just, it made my heart fall out of my chest. She said something, not to me, about me,
mm-hmm.
but she just said something about herself and her life and where she was. And I had the thought, I have got to let her go. I have got to get over her because it's never, ever, ever going to happen.
That was 13 years ago.
Yeah, I said, I've got to stop daydreaming about a life that I'm never going to have.
Yeah,
and then we went our own way and blah, blah, blah. And after I was single again, I saw her post something. And I thought, I'm a lost cause. I'm never going to 100% be over this woman.
That's
and
crazy.
And then I'm living that life that he was talking about that I never... Like, I thought that it was a past life.
Yeah. You thought Inyan,
yeah.
Whatever, but we know.
I had no idea. I went into this movie cold.
We believe this is it.
I had no idea what this movie was about.
I'd say thank God for that.
Yeah, and as soon as I realized what it was, I was like, oh, yeah, this is... I feel so much this movie.
That's an incredible parallel.
Yeah.
Man who finds a wife finds a good thing in favor from the Lord, mm-hmm. man, you found a good one. And that's crazy, because in this life... You have a past life. When you look back to your youth, it feels like a different life.
It does. I was just talking to someone today that I'm 34. The 24-year-old me, those two probably wouldn't even hang out. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Point. Like mine wouldn't.
I am not. I am a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, thank God.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But that is an incredible parallel to this movie. Yeah. I mean, like I said, thank God your ghost ship life wasn't a ghost ship.
I have not used that phrase. I love that because I didn't know what that was. I have told Lacey several times that I feel like this isn't real. I'm living the daydream.
Yeah.
The real me's looking at.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like I feel like I'm over here and I'm going to wake up. And
you're living what easily would have been a ghost ship and probably is for most people.
Yeah.
100%. I think about it too, that we have the things we prayed for.
Yeah.
That we got these, we've been blessed with these amazing women in our lives, and these amazing relationships, you know, and they're worth fighting for.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Incredible parallel. I'm so glad you guys are together and happy and have a little baby. It's just so awesome to see. Yeah,
it's thank crazy. God.
But that's what makes this movie so resonant and powerful is there's not a soul on earth that doesn't relate to it in some capacity.
Yeah.
And no one has ever not thought what could have been.
Yeah, everyone, even if you don't have that, it seems everyone has related
to it. Not even romantically.
Not even romantically. It could be anything.
Dude, I had a thought that scared me to my bone. When my wife, when we met officially, it was at church. Uh-huh. And we were dating. Mm-hmm. Very intentional, you know, and everything, praying about it. And one of the first points of contention we had was there was this potential internship she could take that was out of town. Mm-hmm. She'd have to move.
Oh, wow.
And something I said while watching this movie with her and something to always be is I personally don't understand. Like when he was calling himself ordinary and he's anything but, this life is anything but, it's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And him in the movie, but when that we were presented with that, and I still have this thought to this day, there's not a job, a profession, or something where I just go and make paper money so I can exchange it for things that I would choose over
this. Yeah,
not a chance.
I know, not an effing chance.
It doesn't hold a candle.
100%.
It doesn't. Things don't touch it.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad. Thank God we came. She didn't go.
Yeah,
and it could have changed everything.
I think about that too, because where I met Lacey at that birthday party, I did not want to go to that party. Yeah. I got talked into going.
Crazy.
And even I got dropped off at that party.
Yeah.
Because my car was in the shop. Someone dropped me off and I almost didn't get out of the car. I almost told them, just keep going. I don't want to go to this.
Is that not insane? Like, isn't that weird? That echoes throughout the rest of your life.
Yeah. That one change, that butterfly effect. There's a version where that guy didn't get out of the car.
Yeah. And that's why that's another part of, you know, I personally speak, I know we spoke a lot about today, but with my faith is I don't think it's an accident.
No, I don't think so either.
And I don't. And I genuinely don't think so, not either. My life, not, you know. And, but one moral of it, like no, love is way too rare.
Yeah.
Don't go choose the job over the girl. Like it's like Goodwill Hunting. You know, you go see about a girl.
Yeah.
You go see about the girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
But this movie, man, I'm not going to ever forget it.
No.
I'm glad I had to buy it so I can rewatch it, too.
Yeah, it's
Past Lives is the real deal.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you think this would be talked about in the Oscars Best Picture race?
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't get sidelined into, like, an international.
Yeah, that happens.
I really want it to be. And it's not always. I mean, Parasite wasn't.
I know. Parasite definitely has a bigger commercial appeal than this.
Right. But I mean, there's been so many movies in the Oscars that don't have commercial appeal.
Right now, I think it's this and Oppenheimer battling it out.
Yeah, those two will definitely be nominees.
Yes. For sure. And Scream 6.
And Scream 6, yeah. And Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Oh, yeah, shout out that. And Third Saturday in October.
Yeah.
That's about to get topical.
Yeah.
So, guys, we hope you enjoyed it. Bobby, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
You have probably the best story that could go along with this. Love that you busted that out. I would have probably cried in that movie. I would have thought about that during.
I did. As soon as I realized, I got teared up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a powerful film.
Yeah.
Again, we're way more concerned with what it makes us feel.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that is communicated to you guys. We hope you vibe with it. Yeah. We hope you share us with people. Leave that 5-star hitter and go watch Past Lives.
Yeah.
It actually is worth the $19.99.
Yeah. And go watch Asteroid City.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know, it's a heavier episode, but it's good movies.
Yes. And I like that we got back to our roots in this episode.
Yeah.
We didn't get to record last week. Yeah. We get everything crazy.
Yeah.
It's all wild out there, but we came together, brothers, and we're able to do this, talk about life. And these two movies did a great job of two sides to the same crazy coin of this life. Great double bill.
Yeah.
Great double bill. Asteroid City and Past Lives. Now, you better get ready for some Halloween hitters, though.
Oh, yeah.
Horror movie spooky.
Everything
season,
we just
PSL.
Said is going out the window.
Bye-bye emotions.
Yeah, bye-bye emotions.
Give me a hockey
bye
mask.
Bye-bye
killer.
Deep film critique.
A set of cannolis. Some heavies getting their head cut off.
Some sweater potatoes.
Don't fall asleep. Some sweater potatoes. We got to TM that. We got to put that on a t-shirt. Again, $10,000 a t-shirt. I'll make 10 of them. Little sweater potato outlines. But listen, people. Past Lives. Movie review. Deep dive. Asteroid City. Like SEO. We guys hope you really, really enjoyed the ride. We hope you're enjoying the ride of life, too. Thank God for it. Every day is a gift. And I think about it, too. And now with the kid change the dynamic, I wouldn't have Mr. Paticky.
That's potentially. True. Yeah, I wouldn't have Whitney.
Do not sign me up for that.
No, absolutely not.
Glory to God, man. We're very blessed. But it was a blessing to watch these awesome movies. Mm-hmm. Got some awesome escape. Got in our feels. And took us to some levels and some emotions that, you know, I haven't really experienced in a minute. So, incredible filmmaker. I can't wait to follow Celine Song. Mm-hmm. And South Korean movies are hitters right now. So, watch your
yes, they are.
Watch international film. Watch foreign films. We watch more movies than you. We love you guys. 5-star review. If you please, if you enjoyed it, share us. Sharing's probably even a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to live the dream, folks. But go out there and watch some movies. Hug your mamas. We love you guys. You got Ken.
You got Rob.
We watch way more movies than you. See you, people.
Sorry, people.
Wiener.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Here's Johnny.
Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond.
Make your lives extraordinary.
My restless. Goosebump too.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Welcome to I Watch More Movies Than You, and please take that as a challenge. What else on earth can you spend $10 and then leave the planet for 2 hours? Only movies. Come join us as we experience, explore, and journey through the greatest art form in history.
And here we go.